Hi, I want to introduce you to some family members. This is Hank. He's the oldest. He's 10 years old, and he was a rescue. And then we have the girls, Midge and Ruby. They're 2 years old. Same markings and from the same litter, yet two completely different personalities. You see, I'm a cat person. I've owned several cats, but these three are my favorite. But Midge is my all-time favorite. She is my cat. I've never been as close to a cat as I am with her. And when she dies in the next 15 years or so, if she dies before me, I will be heartbroken. Because I know I'll never see her again. Because she, just like every other cat, dog, horse, and every other animal that's ever existed or will exist, does not have an immortal soul and cease to exist when they die. Thomas Aquinas puts it like this: no activity of the sentient part can have place without a body. But in the souls of dumb animals, we find no activity higher than the activities of the sentient part. That animals neither understand nor reason is apparent from this, that all animals of the same species behave alike, as being moved by nature, and not acting on any principle of art. For every swallow makes its nest alike, every spider its web alike. Therefore, there is no activity of the soul of dumb animals that can possibly go on without the body. This expresses the traditional Catholic teaching. Humans have rational, immortal souls that continue after death for all eternity. Animals have material souls that do not continue after death. This is something that Christians generally understood until recently. But because of the influx of Eastern philosophies over the last few decades, thanks to the popularization of yoga, martial arts, Reiki, and the New Age movement, the belief in reincarnation and thus the immortal souls of animals has taken root in the West. Since most reincarnation systems believe not only in past and future lives as other humans, but also animals and even bugs. Of course, I realize that the vast majority of people who do yoga and martial arts are not looking for and do not engage in alternative spiritual practices, but enough people do through these practices that over time and generations, those ideas infect our society. It happened incrementally through the false idea of freedom of religion. That and, of course, the abominable world's religion class taught in college that promote every religion as superior to Christianity and has caused countless Christian youth to lose their faith. Throw in the fact that our society has moved from agricultural-based to urban-based, and animals are seen less as a consumable commodity and more as companions and family members. And one can see how the belief that animals have immortal souls that continue after death has invaded our culture. As modernism continues to pervert the human mind and sound Christian doctrine is replaced with pagan philosophy, Satan moves us to the same place he moved the ancients, to worship nature, rivers, trees, stones, the earth itself, and yes, animals. Perhaps modern man doesn't assign supernatural qualities to these things as the ancients did, but an attitude that assigns them a place above human activity, when in fact they are here to serve us, is still an idol. Besides, it's just a matter of time until animals are worshipped overtly in the West. But for the Christian, the idea that animals have immortal souls that continue after death should be repugnant. Yet more and more Christians are adopting this belief. Yet only man is made in the image and likeness of God, and only man has been given an immortal soul in the physical world. Genesis 2:7. And the Lord God formed man of the slime of the earth, and breathed into his face the breath of life, and the man became a living soul. Genesis 1:26-30 reads, "And he said, Let us make man in our image and likeness, and let him have dominion over the fishes of the sea, and the fowl of the air, and the beasts, and the whole earth, and every creeping creature that moveth upon the earth. And God created man in his own image, to the image of God he created him, male and female he created them. And God said, Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed upon the earth, and all trees that have in themselves seed of their own kind, to be your meat. And to all the beasts of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to all that move upon the earth, and wherein there is life, that they may have to feed upon. And it was so done." This is the Douay Rheims translation. Other more modern translations render Genesis 2:7, quote, "And man became a living being," rather than "and man became a living soul." And Genesis 1:3, quote, "And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, rather than and wherein there is life, lessening the distinction between man and animals. I checked the King James Version, and it renders these two verses as the Douay Rheims does, Genesis 2:7, and man became a living soul, and Genesis 1:3, wherein there is life. I find it interesting that the first two official English translations, the Douay Rheims and the King James, the Douay Rheims predating the King James, make a clear distinction between man having been breathed a soul and animals who are simply alive, whereas later translations seem to blur that distinction. So stick with the Douay Rheims. At least after the fall, man was allowed to kill and eat animals. The Law of Moses sets forth what animals the Hebrews could and could not eat. However, in the New Testament, Peter is given a vision. And he saw the heaven opened, and a certain vessel descended, as it were a great linen sheet let down by four corners from heaven to earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts and creeping things of the earth, and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Arise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Far be it from me, for I never did eat anything that is common and unclean." And the voice spoke to him again the second time, "That which God hath cleansed, do not thou call common." So we are allowed by God to kill and eat any kind of animal, and animals kill and eat each other. But we also know that to kill another human is a sin, "Thou shalt not kill." If animals had immortal souls, then it would be immoral to kill and eat them, and for them to kill and eat each other, just like it is immoral to kill and eat another human being. Angels and humans are the only creatures with eternal spirits or souls, angels being pure spirit and human beings both spirit or soul and a material body. Both angels and humans were given a choice, to spend eternity in heaven with God or to spend eternity in hell. The angels were tested at the beginning, and each human is tested throughout their life. If animals had immortal souls, then they too would be put to the test and given the choice between heaven and hell. Nobody believes this. They just assume all animals go to heaven. Yet it's clear that the original sin of Adam affected all of creation, not just humanity, Romans 5:12. Therefore, as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, Romans 8:19-22. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but of the will of him who subjected it in hope, because the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and obtain the glorious liberty of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in travail together until now. And Genesis makes it clear that animals ate vegetables before the fall, not each other. Genesis 1:29. And God said, "Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed upon the earth, and all trees that have in themselves seed of their own kind to be your meat, and to all beasts of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to all that move upon the earth, and wherein there is life, that they may have to feed upon." All of creation, including animals, fell when Adam sinned. How is it fair to humans and the angels that we had to choose God or go to hell if all animals get to go to heaven automatically without choosing, as they do not have the ability to choose, and they routinely break the laws of God? They fornicate, they steal, they murder, they don't honor their parents nor keep the Sabbath holy, and they certainly are covetous. Clearly, the laws of God do not apply to animals, and that's because they do not have immortal souls that continue after death. Now, you might say that since they lack the capacity to choose, they get a pass, but the councils of Trent and Florence, as well as the Bible in reality, clearly state that those who die with original sin only go to hell. And by the way, what forgives original sin is baptism. Animals are not baptized. Why should they get a pass? And please don't baptize your pets. It won't do any good. If animals had immortal souls, they would be subject to the laws of God and would all go to hell, which nobody believes. But let's talk about what's really driving this new belief in animal salvation among Christians. It's the idea that I can't be happy for all eternity without my pet. Well, I'm sorry, but if you can't be happy with God for all eternity without your pet, you're probably not on your way to heaven. You may be on your way to purgatory for a while until you give up that silly notion, which means you'll make it eventually, but you're probably not going straight there. And there's a new sort of compromise belief that says, yes, animals do not have immortal souls and cease to exist, but once you get to heaven, God will bring them back to make you happy. Again, you won't need your pet to be happy in heaven. So let's just stop it, okay? But doesn't the Bible say that the lion will lay down with the lamb in the new heaven and earth? Yes, there will be animals in the new creation, but there's no reason to believe they will be resurrected animals rather than new ones, other than people want to spend all eternity with their pets, and now we're just going in circles. But didn't Pope Paul VI, John Paul II, and Francis say our pets will be with us in heaven? According to an article from National Catholic Register, Francis never said that, John Paul II was misquoted, and Paul VI was consoling a young child whose dog had recently died. And yeah, even I would say to a young child, your dog is in heaven. This modern form of animal worship is going to lead to bestiality. Think about it. Would you be surprised if you heard today that someone wanted to marry their horse and they sued the state of whatever and the court said, yes, you have the right to marry your horse? Would anyone be surprised? I know I wouldn't. And we already have people today who identify as cats or dogs or whatever, forcing schools and office spaces to put in litter boxes for them. Well, if you're a cat, then what are you supposed to be mating with? Other cats. So yes, legalized bestiality is just around the corner. So things are going to get interesting. Until my next video, God bless.